WTO, not a total failure.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. After six grueling days, the World Trade Organization talks in Hong Kong are over. The trade ministers are headed home. But about 1,000 protesters are staying. Well, because they're in jail. South Korea is trying to negotiate their release. They're mostly farmers from that country. Now, about the conference, Marketplace's Jocelyn Ford tells us something did actually happen.
At the end of the marathon negotiations, there was a breakthrough. The officials agreed to end agricultural subsidies by 2013, but they left the tough decisions on how to reach that goal for later. The new deadline is the end of April. Peter Mandelson is the European Union's trade commissioner.
The results are a modest follow-up from the July framework of last year. I wish we could have gone further. It's disappointing that we didn't. But all told, it's been a good week.
There were some concrete agreements hammered out during last week's all-nighter negotiating sessions. For example, no more export subsidies for cotton next year. That agreement will speed up the U.S. plan to scrap subsidies for American cotton growers. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
It's a festive time in New York, but there's some tension in the air this Christmas week. Transit workers are still threatening to walk off the job in 24 hours if the union and city can't make a deal. Drivers for two private bus lines are already on strike. Talks are supposed to resume later this morning. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says a walkout would paralyze the city and cost $400 million a day. Can you imagine the gridlock if that strike happens? Oh, and if you don't like gridlock, stay away from the post office today, will you? Here's Elisa Roth.
If the lines at the post office seem longer today, it's probably not your imagination. The Monday before Christmas is typically one of the busiest days of the year. Pat McGovern is a spokeswoman for the Postal Service.
I would say it's probably topped by Tax Day, April 15th.
But McGovern says for revenue, the holiday season wins hands down. Most people only send one tax return, while they may send hundreds of Christmas cards. Meanwhile, analyst Art Hatfield says competitors like FedEx and UPS are benefiting from a strong economy, and last-minute holiday shippers will help a little, too.
I think from now until Christmas, more people will go to that because of the guaranteed delivery aspect.
McGovern says the post office expects to process a staggering 900 million pieces of mail today. That's about 30% more than usual. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
People are stocking up on the drug Tamiflu. Doctors don't know if it'll work against bird flu, but you know how people are. And you know how other people are? The feds have found more than 50 packages of counterfeit Tamiflu sent to Americans. They made their first bust yesterday near San Francisco. The pills didn't have any of the ingredients from Tamiflu, but some of them did have vitamin C, so they weren't all bad. A lot of volume on Wall Street Friday. The Dow was down 6 points to 10,875. The S&P 500 dropped 3 to 1267. The NASDAQ fell 8 points to 2252. Today, oil prices steadied around $58 a barrel. This is Marketplace. It's Monday. It's early. You need coffee. Hey, I'm on the West Coast. I really need coffee. Stacey Vanek-Smith brews us a cup, but just one.
It may be tea for two, but it's coffee for one that's hot this holiday season. That is machines that brew single cups and the mini packets of coffee that go with them. Mr. Coffee, Krups, and Black & Decker all recently introduced single cup machines, and roasters like Maxwell House and Folgers have gotten on board with gourmet packets or pods. Industry consultant Tom Perko says people want good coffee that hasn't been burning in a pot.
Now that people have been exposed to really great coffee out, they want great coffee in, and the best way to do it is in new pod systems.
Perko says U.S. coffee makers used to be focused on making their product as cheap as possible, but now taste has taken the front seat, especially with Americans spending around $4 billion on gourmet coffee every year. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota. Designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. By Fannie Mae. Working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae. FannieMae.com. and by Network Solutions, helping individuals and businesses of all sizes grow on the web with hosting, design, domains, and online marketing solutions. NetworkSolutions.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Wall Street's still hoping the Dow will crack 11,000 by year's end, but that hope is fading fast. Doesn't mean much to serious investors anyway, more of a psychological boost than anything else. But last week, the S&P 500 did hit a 4.5-year high, and Newsweek's Alan Sloan says that, well, it doesn't mean diddly either.
If you step back and look at what Wall Street has done this year, or at least what the stock market has done this year, it's up slightly or essentially flat. The Dow, the last time I looked, was up, I think, 1% for the year. The Standard & Poor's and the NASDAQ were up about 5% for the year, but it doesn't really mean anything. And remember now, you're dealing with Wall Street, the place that speaks in euphemisms. And when they say, well, it's a 4.5-year high, what they're really saying is the market is really lower than it used to be in 2000. But since we're congenital optimists here, because we always want to have something to sell, we'll look for the 4.5-year high. The stock market runs on optimism, so there's always a reason to be optimistic.
But is there anything that you can extrapolate from what has happened in 2005 with the markets?
The only thing we can take from it is if we were in the right stocks, we made a lot of money. If we were in the wrong stocks, we lost a lot of money. And if, like me, you happen to love newspaper stocks, you got your head handed to you. But luckily for me, that's only play money. Most of my money is managed in mutual funds, and the mutual funds have done fine. The stock market is the stock market.
Well, Alan, Wall Street is your beat. So as you look back on the past year, what stands out to you?
Well, what stands out to me is the amazing way Wall Street has of making money, not for you and me, but for Wall Street, whatever is happening. The game coming into the year was, remember, hedge funds. Hedge funds were the happening thing. Everybody wanted to sell you a hedge fund. Hedge funds were going to do this. Hedge funds were going to do that. And Wall Street makes a lot of money off hedge funds because the investors pay high fees and hedge funds tend to do a lot of trading. But of course, there's now so much money in hedge funds that collectively investors in hedge funds are not really making out very well. So now, instead of hedge funds, the story is private equity, and the private equity funds are buying this, and the private equity funds are buying that. And I guarantee you that sometime around the middle of 2006, someone's going to discover in the journalistic world that collectively the investors in some of the private equity funds are not doing well. And this is what always happens. There's a boom and a bust. And everything comes and everything goes. It's very, very biblical. There is a time to every investment under heaven.
Alan Sloan's with Newsweek. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow.
American Public Media.
It's small, it's fast.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.